A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus had crossed back to the other side of the Sea of Galilee in a boat, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the lake. One of the officials of the synagogue, a man named Jairus, came near. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and made this earnest appeal. "My little daughter is critically ill. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she may get well and live." The two went off together, and a large crowd followed, pushing against Jesus. There was a woman in the area who had been afflicted with a hemorrhage for a dozen years. She received treatment from she had received treatment at the hands of doctors of every sort and exhausted her savings in the process, yet she got no relief. On the contrary, she only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and put her hand to his cloak. "If I can just touch his clothing," she thought, "I shall get well." Immediately, her flow of blood dried up, and the feeling that she was cured of her affliction ran through her whole body. Jesus was immediately conscious that healing power had gone out from him. Wheeling about in the crowd, he began to ask, "Who touched my clothing?" His disciples said to him, "You can see how this crowd hems you in, yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" Despite this, he kept looking around to see the woman who had done it. Fearful and beginning to tremble now as she realized what had happened, the woman came and fell in front of him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, it is your faith that has cured you. Go in peace and be free of this illness." He had not finished speaking when people from the official's house arrived saying, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher further?" Jesus disregarded the report that had been brought and said to the official, "Fear is useless. What is needed is trust." He would not permit anyone to follow him except Peter, James, and James' brother John. As they approached the house of the synagogue leader, Jesus was struck by the noise of people wailing and crying loudly on all sides. He entered and said to them, "Why do you make this din with your wailing? The child is not dead. She is asleep." At this, they began to ridicule him. Then he put them all out. Jesus took the child's father and mother and his own companions and entered the room where the child lay. Taking her hand, he said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, get up." The girl, a child of 12, stood up immediately and began to walk around. At this, the family's astonishment was complete. He enjoined them strictly not to let anyone know about it and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord. My mother's name was Agatha. Her devotion to her patron grew as her life progressed because she lost first one and later a second breast to cancer. She survived both surgeries and lived to 90 years of age. She knew the legend of St. Agatha, however, and the fact that this early Christian martyr also lost both breasts made my mother feel a greater kinship with her patron saint. Actually, we know very little about St. Agatha for certain, other than that devotion to her in the Roman Church goes back to ancient times. Several churches in Rome were dedicated to her within the first centuries of Constantine's acceptance of Christian faith. She died about 250 years after Christ's birth, a legend composed several centuries after her death, relates that she was a noble Sicilian woman who at an early age devoted herself to Christ with a vow of virginity. A pagan official in a local town tried to persuade her to marry him because of her social position, her wealth, and her beauty. When she refused, he threatened to expose her Christian faith. This was at the time of the persecution under the Emperor Decius. When she still refused, she was turned over to the officials for torture, including the cutting off of her breasts and rolling her on burning coals. Many of the virgin martyrs honored by the early Roman Church, like Agnes, Cecilia, Lucy, and Agatha, have similar stories. A vow of chastity taken at an early age, attempts to undermine the determination of the young victim through threats and torture, and finally, death. The popularity of this early devotion to virgin martyrs raises the question, why was there such admiration for virginity in the early church? Like most ancient societies, the Romans valued women principally for their ability to bring children into the world, most importantly, male children. The Romans did honor the Vestal Virgins, but this dedication to temple service was made by families when the girls were very young and lasted only until their term of service was over, after which many were still able to marry and have children. Lifetime consecration by a young woman herself to be united only to a man who had lived two centuries earlier was unheard of. Perhaps the motivation is to be found in gospel stories like the one we have heard today. Jesus of Nazareth respected women as much as men. Both men and women flocked to him. In the one story, more in tune with the customs of our time, a man, Jairus, comes to seek Jesus to ask healing for his ailing daughter. In the other story, however, a woman approaches Jesus, a woman with a hemorrhage, which, according to Jewish ritual law, made anyone or anything she touched unclean. She touches his garment. He is unclean. His response? He heals her, as he heals Jairus' daughter. Mark emphasizes the similarity of the response to both men and women by enveloping one story within the other. In both cases, of course, the beneficiaries of Jesus' healing power were females. Is this equalizing response of Jesus a reason that in a male-dominated society, women who believed in Jesus wanted to dedicate themselves to him alone? Today's first reading from Hebrews speaks of a great cloud of witnesses. From the earliest times, the church recognized that this cloud includes men and women, children and elderly, Jew and Gentile. It is up to us in our times to respect his lack of discrimination.